from Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Leslie Curran here, saying hello and welcome in the Saviour's name to our Let the Bible Speak program. I'm glad that you're taking time to join us for our 15-minute gospel broadcast, and I trust that as you listen to God's Word, that your heart will be richly blessed today. Our preacher is the Reverend Ian Brown, and he's dealing with a very important subject, evolution. There are so many in the world today who accept evolution as a fact, but Mr. Brown is going to show that that's not so. It is just merely a theory of man with no biblical foundation at all. So, be certain to listen for the message coming up in just a few moments after these words in song.
There is a name I long to hear, I long to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth.
Good morning. In The Sound of Music, Maria sings, "Nothing comes from nothing. Nothing ever could." Quite true. No matter what you're looking at, nothing comes from nothing. Nothing ever could. Why is there, as we look out in the world today, why is there something rather than nothing? How did this world come about? Is it the result of some cosmic accident, or a chain of cosmic accidents, or an explosion that some people have dubbed the Big Bang? Yes, what about the Big Bang explanation for the origin of our universe? Is it sensible, or better still, is it credible? One feature that marks out the theories that profess to explain the origin of the universe is certainly not longevity, for none of them tend to hang around too long. Before the Big Bang theory, there was a steady-state theory, and rest assured, after the shock waves produced by this Big Bang theory have rippled away into oblivion, there's going to be a plasma theory or something similar, just whatever is next on the production line of modern atheistical thought. Anything will do, you know, just as long as we're not asked to accept the fact of an almighty, intelligent, gracious creator. Anything will do, as long as we're not asked to believe in the existence of God. Richard Dawkins, one of the world's leading evolutionist spokespersons, argued vehemently against God's role as creator of the universe, but then grudgingly admitted, "The more statistically improbable a thing is, the less we can believe that it just happened by blind chance. Superficially, the obvious alternative to chance is an intelligent designer." Basically, Dawkins prefers to believe that blind chance, natural selection and mutations occurring over countless millions of years, provides a mechanism for the evolutionary process. Evolution replaces God and is itself the designer, as far as Dawkins is concerned. Statistically, his theory's legless. The odds are stacked incredibly high against him. A biologist once commented that the likelihood of this world being produced by chance is about as statistically possible as that of an explosion in a printing factory producing the complete works of William Shakespeare. I'd rather imagine you would have bombed out a good few printing factories and demolished millions of pounds worth. There wouldn't be a printing factory left in the world, and still you wouldn't have obtained the complete works of William Shakespeare. However, if this world isn't the result of a monumental, inexplicable accident, then it must have a powerful, originating and energizing source outside of itself. We call that source God. He is the great creator. It must be considered, of course, that no matter where you look in the world, you're confronted with the facts of an intricate and intelligent design. Not only are statistics against the theory of evolution, but scientifically, that theory falls as well. Like to admit it or not, where you have such intricate, intelligent design, you have of necessity a designer. For example, if conditions on this earth had been the slightest bit different, life would have been impossible. Our environment shows numerous signs of meticulous design. In hot countries, bees have a way of coping with hornets that have the rather annoying habit of haunting their hives and biting off their heads. The bees come out of a hive in a rush, they surround the hornet, they move their wings so fast that a tremendous amount of heat is generated. When the temperature reaches 46 degrees centigrade, the hornets die. Now, if that temperature was to go up higher to even 48 degrees centigrade, the bees would also die, but it doesn't. That speaks to me of design, not accident and certainly not chance. Out in the distant, bewildering curves of the universe are amazing places where a teaspoon of matter weighs as much as 200 million elephants, where a twinkling star winks on and off 30 times a second, where a small mysterious object shines with the brilliance of 10 trillion suns, where matter and light are continually sucked up by devouring black holes never to be seen again. Little wonder the late British scientist J.B.S. Haldane could say, "The universe is not only queerer than we suppose, but queerer than we can suppose." We used to think that the universe was simply our Milky Way galaxy. Today we know that galaxies are as common as blades of grass in a field. They number perhaps 100 billion. We might also, of course, consider the moving of the stars and the planets that are so ordered and precise that Greenwich Mean Time is worked out from them. The structure of freezing that allows fish to breathe under the ice, a bat's incredible radar, a bird's migratory ability, a caterpillar's metamorphosis, the ability of the whole body to function, the strange world of bacteria, all of these show evidence of exceedingly intricate design. They all follow patterns that defy any idea that they might have come about through chance and coincidence over no matter how long a period of time. How can we account for all of this? Where is the sufficient cause for all of these things? Who made them like this? The evolutionists may put these down to the random operations of the blind watchmaker, evolution. Personally, I prefer the perspective of Cecil Francis Alexander. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. He gave us eyes to see them, and lips that we might tell. How great is God Almighty, who has made all things well. Charles Darwin himself had difficulty in the area of vision. He shuddered at the problem of the wonderfully intricate design of the eye, and how many problems that posed to his theory of evolution. Evolutionary processes of trial and error over millions of years brought about human vision as we know it. That's a bit of a tall story, and Charles Darwin knew it. He conceded, to suppose that the eye could have been formed by natural selection seems, I freely confess, absurd in the highest degree. Since Darwin's day, science has progressed considerably, and along with it our knowledge of the human eye. Back in the mid-1800s, Darwin wouldn't have known that the rapid operation of the eye muscles results in imperceptibly tiny movements. These tiny tremors, drifts and saccades continuously and rapidly wobble our eyeball in a circular fashion at up to a rate of 70 times per second, causing the cornea and the retina of our eyes to move in circles with incredibly minute diameters of approximately 1/1000th of a millimetre, or 0.004 of an inch. Without these movements over a lifetime, images would appear in broken and distorted form. Quite aside from the immense difficulty posed by the human eye, it should be noted that nothing adds up for the evolutionist. Not one missing link in a supposed chain of human evolution has ever been discovered. No proof for evolution occurring anywhere in the world around us today can be advanced. Yet despite these massive and insurmountable problems, Darwin and his modern-day followers stubbornly plod on with their theory. Their grip on evolution in the complete absence of any scientific evidence to support it merely underlines how determined they are to reject the only other alternative, the powerful, creative operation of our God. It's very interesting that philosophers and scientists who deny the existence of God end up using another expression, the absolute. They talk about the life force, or the ground of existence. They have to do that because the amazing universe around us and the world in which we live demands a master designer, an architect, an engineer, an artist. Why not, I say, come clean and refer to him as God? It's quite reasonable to conclude that the universe has been thought out and brought into being by a person of far greater intelligence and power than any of us possess. David was right when he stated 3,000 years ago, Psalm 19, the verses 1 to 3, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." And Paul, in the New Testament, in Romans chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, was careful to underline the same truth. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, if even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Statistically, evolution must fall. Scientifically, evolution hits the rocks. Also scripturally, from the viewpoint of the Bible, the whole creation-evolution debate is an open and shut case. God's divine word declares with a united voice that the beginning of all things started with a dramatic display of the power of God. He created the heavens and the earth out of nothing. And if you want to check out a few references, then Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, Genesis 1 verses 26 and 27, Deuteronomy 32 verse 6, Nehemiah chapter 9 verse 6, Psalm 33 and the verse 6, Isaiah 45 verses 12 and 18, John 1 the verses 1 to 3, Colossians 1 verses 16 and 17, and we could keep on multiplying references all morning if we had time. In no word, no verse, no book in the entire Bible is there even a hint of a gradual development of life of any kind. On the contrary, many passages reflect the truth that the act of creation involved a divine miracle which occurred within a short space of time. A belief in evolution robs us of the entire gospel. The early chapters of Genesis, with their account of God's mighty acts in the creation of man and the world, and man's later fall into sin, those chapters are foundational. If the reliability of these historical records is denied, then the rest of the Old Testament is left without sense and without direction. The New Testament describing the execution and implementation of God's plan of salvation would be redundant, were it not for the record of man's sin and desperate need for salvation, as we find it revealed in Genesis. The bottom line is this: if we can't believe Genesis chapters 1 to 3, how can we put any value upon John chapter 3 verse 16? "But a God who has both the purpose and the power to create and sustain the world that we live in gives me the confidence that the same Lord can recreate and save his people within it. With the hymnist I rejoice. Oh, how I love him. How I adore him. My breath, my sunshine, my all in all, the great creator became my saviour, and all God's fullness dwelleth in him."
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust that you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. We're on the air here on Gospel AM each morning, Monday to Friday at 9:30. So do remember to join us at this time as we let the Bible speak.